The new Indiana Bible College album, At the Cross, will be available April 11th, 2018. Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where every Tuesday and Thursday, it's our goal to bring you an apostolic sermon. Today in our student chapel, we have Brother Sam Sullivan preaching a message entitled, What Will You Do With What You've Been Given? Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.
Well, clap your hands to the Lord. I'm thankful God's here in this place this morning. Amen. Thankful for what we feel this time here in chapel, and I'm thankful, even though I was excited and ready to go last Thursday, I'm thankful that the Lord stepped in. And you know, it's always nice when God moves in an unexpected way, and just kind of comes and lets you know I'm here. And that's certainly what we felt last Thursday. But I'm excited to be here today and excited for what we feel in this house. And I'm ready to preach. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I'd like to thank the student council for this opportunity. And we certainly miss Sam. When I found out last week that she was the other preacher, I figured it out. I leaned over to Ashley and I said, I know why they asked me to preach. I said, I think they were in a student council meeting and someone said, hey, we should ask Sam to preach. And then someone accidentally texted me. But here I am, so we're going to make the best of it. Now, I'd like to thank Brother Mooney and the staff here, everything that they do. Of course, my pastor and parents, and Sister Ashley right over there. Ashley, soon to be Sullivan, right there. Wave your right hand. There we go. Yeah, absolutely. No. Does it feel like too long ago I was a new student here and just meeting her, and now I can't really imagine life without her. I love you. And then Cynthia, who's sitting next to her, probably strapped down by two beautiful young kids here. Cynthia, we've been doing a Bible study with, and I'm very glad. Why don't we welcome her, let her know that we're happy she's here. And of course, I have to give a shout out to the Theology Club, so you guys are awesome. But Joshua 1, beginning with verse 1. Bible says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance this land, which I swear to the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. Everybody say all. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then skipping to Joshua 11:15. Israel here we find in the middle of possessing this land that they were promised. And Joshua has led the children of Israel fighting and winning victory over cities that God promised them. And in the middle of this, we find an interesting note about the leadership of Joshua. Joshua 11:15 says, "And as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." What a compliment to Joshua. What a testimony to the leadership of Joshua. And I don't know about you, but I would like that to be said of me and of my ministry. And I'd like to preach this morning, what will you do with what you've been given? Would you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful for your presence, that we feel so strong in this place already. God, we're thankful for all that you've done this semester and this school year, for you leading us and guiding us and speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would anoint us in this place to hear and receive your word, God, and respond to it in the way that you'd like. Lord, I pray that you would minister and that you would touch our lives here, God, and that we would leave this place changed this day, God. Touch us, I pray. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands? You may be seated. God had been leading the children of Israel on a long journey to the promised land. Moses, the man of God who had led them as far as the outskirts of the promised land, was gone, and Joshua had taken his place. It was the Lord who had chosen Joshua to lead the people, and for the first time in the history of Israel as a nation, with the exception of the high priest, we see a generational succession of leadership. The Bible tells us that Moses had initiated this process, asking the Lord would raise up a shepherd for his people. The Bible says in Numbers 27, verse 18, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight." A couple verses later, the Bible tells us that Moses took Joshua and he set him before Eleazar the priest, and he gave him a charge in the sight of the people. And at the commandment of the Lord, Moses hands over to Joshua years of investment, years of patience and difficulty, years of victory. And now it's Joshua's turn to lead. I wonder what was going through Joshua's mind, or Moses' mind rather, in that moment. I wonder if he thought that Joshua might try to take the children of Israel a different direction. I wonder if he worried whether or not Israel would ever possess the land God had promised them. I wonder what went through his mind as he gave Joshua charge of the congregation of the people for whom he was born, that they would be delivered from Egypt. In this story, we see the first of a generational succession of leadership that has continued from that time ever since. There is always a time when one generation begins to pass the baton and the following generation steps to the forefront. And the question today is the same as it has always been. What will you do with what you've been given? What will you do, Joshua, when Moses says it's your turn to be the pastor? What will you do, Joshua, when Moses says you're the next youth pastor? What will you do when Moses says it's your time to lead? Every one of us here is somewhere in the middle of that process. And every one of us here has to answer that question for yourself. What will you do when it's your turn to lead? Intimidated and scared, I would say, Joshua steps to the forefront. He'd seen the rebellion of this people. He'd heard the murmurings, and now he was in charge of them. He had seen from Moses how hard it was to keep this group of people happy, and now he had to answer for himself whether he would follow the will of the people or the leading of the Lord when times were difficult? Would he possess the land God promised them? And would he keep the law that Moses commanded them? God had commanded Moses specifically to possess a land of promise, and it was a commission, if you will, much like the commission that this church has today. Not only this, but there was a law and a covenant that they were to keep, and Joshua had to choose what he was going to do. And I would say that this group of people here in this chapel is in the same position as Joshua. We have an inheritance, just like we heard preached about a couple of weeks ago. And the question is, what are you going to do when it's your turn to lead? What are you going to do with this holiness message? What are you going to do with Acts 2:38? What are you going to do with this apostolic truth? What are you going to do with the message that you've been handed? What are you going to do with the message that our elders were ridiculed and mocked for preaching? What are you going to do with a message that the apostles died for? Let me speak for this generation when I say, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to hold on to it. We're going to fight for it, and we're going to preach it to a lost and dying world, because in this day that we leave, we don't have time to play games. We don't have time to flirt with the world. We don't have time to give place to the devil. But it's time for a Joshua to stand up and say, everything the Lord commanded this man to do and this man to do, that's what I'm going to preach. Every message the Lord has given this church, that's what I'm going to speak. Every standard, every doctrine, and every tradition that's been passed to us, that's what I'm going to hold on to. Oh, come on, Joshua, stand up and say, I'll do it. Stand up and say, I'll earnestly contend for the truth. Stand up and say, I'll fight for what our elders believe.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm sure Joshua didn't do everything quite like Moses did. I'm sure there was variance in his leadership style and even his abilities. I heard a message the other day. Actually, my roommate, Josh Feeges. Look at all these. All my roommates are right here on the front. But Josh, Brother Josh was listening to a message. Brother T.F. Tenney was preaching about transition because of the times. And he said, it's a good thing that Moses wasn't there when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan. Because the Lord had commanded Joshua that the priests were to take the Ark of the Covenant and that they were to come down, and as soon as they all got down in the Jordan there, the waters would split. They'd part. And Brother Tenney said, if Moses was there, he would have been running, screaming, stop! Wait, hold on! Where's the stick? Because, and it was by the commandment of the Lord, oftentimes Moses would use his rod to do things, and he'd hold his rod out and the waters parted the first time, and the Lord didn't command Joshua to do that. The Lord commanded Moses to do that. And in the same sense, you know, I guess there was nothing really special about the rod. There's nothing special. It was just a stick, but it was what God had commanded Moses to use. There's nothing special or sacred about it, but there was nothing wrong with using it either, especially considering that's what God said do. Now, if we're comparing that stick or rod to methods, I will say that it did get Moses in trouble one time when he tried to use a method instead of listen to what the Lord said, and he wasn't able to enter into the promised land. Moses used the rod, but Joshua did not. And, it's much similar. Our generation is not going to use everything that the generation before us did. Truth be told that the generation before us didn't use everything that their predecessors did. Well, let me tell you something. Joshua might have changed the way he did things, but he didn't change what they did. Joshua might have preached in a different way, but he didn't change the message. No. And in the same way, we might not dress exactly like the generation before us. And please view that in the context of this message. What I mean by that is, if you want to know, go down and find a yearbook from 1990, and thank God you were born the year that you were born. We might about to get pulled off this platform as fast as anything else. We might not sing exactly like the generation sang before us. Our preaching styles and teaching styles may be a little bit different. Well, let me say, we had better be preaching the same message. We had better be singing the same truth. We had better be dressing in a way that's modest and distinctive from this world. We had better be separate like they were. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. We don't do it, have to do it exactly the way they did. But we had better pray like they did. And we had better fast like they did. And we had better live a holy and godly separated life from this world like they did. We've been handed something precious and eternal. And my question is, what are you going to do with what you've been given? This is a message that others have died for. Don't tell me it's too inconvenient. Don't tell me it's too difficult. Don't tell me that it's no longer relevant. This is eternal. The Word of God is interesting because, in a sense, it will never be relevant to this world. The world's going to do their own thing. But in another sense, it's the only thing that is relevant to this world, because the Word of God is the only thing eternal. And you had better not mess with the eternal for the temporal. And you had better not change an eternal message for a temporary lifestyle or some convenience. Of course, there have been those from the beginning who have walked away. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That scripture should send chills up and down your spine every time you read it. That's a scripture that should call for a self-examination every time you hear it. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There are a lot of scholars that argue back and forth about what this means. Some think it means Demas walked away from truth completely. There are others who would say Demas was so caught up with the cares and affairs of this current life that he failed to see what Paul called the weight of glory that will be revealed in us. And he didn't necessarily walk away from truth. He just left Paul fearing for his own life and loving this present world. And then I've even read a commentator that says that meant Demas became a Jew. And I'm not sure where they're getting that from, but we'll let them do that. Regardless, it really doesn't matter. I have a position, and I hope you do too, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Demas was still lost. Demas was still lost. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me tell you, the only way that you're going to stay in this, the only way you're going to stand, is he that does the will of God. My question, Joshua, are you going to do what Moses commanded you? Are you going to do what the Lord commanded Moses to do? Because it's only he that does the will of God that abides forever. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Don't be a friend of the world. Don't love the world. The things of this world are passing away, but you hold on to the truth. You hold on to this Word of God, because it's the only thing that's going to carry us through. It's the only eternal message we have. And don't change what's eternal for something temporary. How many have forsaken an eternal message for a temporal lifestyle? We've heard this statistic a lot lately. Look to your left and look to your right. It could be that Demas is sitting beside you. How many Demases have you known in your ministry? Too many. You know, we don't even have to ask these men. I could come down here. We talk about that statistic of looking to your left and looking to your right, and one third of you will be here, won't be here, whatever it is. I can't remember. I should know. But the fact of the matter is, I can look at a few empty seats today. I've only been here 3 semesters. How some of you guys that have been here 4 years, I guarantee you could start counting the empty seats today of the people you know that have been in this at one time. But for a love of the world and the cares of this life, they've walked away. It should be sobering when we look around and we see how many people have walked away. And that's not to discourage us, but it should convict us. It should cause for some self-examination. Because we've seen people, they probably preached in chapel like I am right now. They've sung and led worship like Brother Kay did, and he did such an excellent job earlier. And they looked like, on the outside anyhow, that they were on fire for God. But there was something inside of them, a love of the world, and they're no longer here. God forbid it be you, and God forbid it be me. Someone better make up their mind today. I'm not going to be a Demas. I'm not going to be like Demas. I'm going to do a little bit of soul searching, and I'm going to let the Holy Ghost work on me. And I'm going to make sure that there's no love of this world, that there's no care for the things of this life, because eternity is too long to be lost. Eternity is too long to be lost, and this life is too short to throw away what's eternal for what's temporary. I don't think it's a mistake that Paul, leading up to this statement about Demas, wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse number 1, I charge thee, I charge thee. That sounds like Moses up on a mountain with Eleazar and Joshua, giving him a charge in the sight of the people. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But, Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul said, I'm headed out, I'm done. I'm ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight. And Timothy, it's your turn. These words of Paul, I believe, are echoing to this generation. I charge you, fight a good fight. Preach the word. Be ready. You watch, Timothy. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist. You make full proof of your ministry. So I ask this question today, Joshua, Timothy, young preacher, what will you do with what you've been given? Stand with me, please. I feel like the Lord's been dealing with this student body here lately, in this semester in particular. I knew what I was going to preach Tuesday morning. A couple weeks ago, and then Brother Brown got up here and preached about our inheritance, and he walked all over everything I felt from the Lord I needed to say. Brother Galleon got up and closed the service, and he pointed out that this has been a reoccurring theme the last several messages. And I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is striving for someone. It doesn't take a very spiritual person to figure that out. God is reaching for someone. God is reaching for someone's soul. Spirit of the Lord is calling for someone to make a decision. The Bible tells us in Judges 2:10, after Joshua died and all of that generation were gathered unto their fathers, there arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Israel backslid. They sinned and they paid the price for it. But we're not destined to the same fate as Israel. Because every generation has the privilege of choosing for themselves. And I feel in closing to read Joshua's charge to the children of Israel as he was on his way out. Joshua, the man that it was said of, did everything the Lord commanded Moses, said to the children of Israel as he was leaving, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're about to go on spring break, and we'll be gone for a week, and I have no idea what kind of home you have, where you're going to be going, how difficult it may be. There are people, how many of you know, there are people that have significant challenges to living for God. It's difficult. That's why I feel so strongly that today, somebody needs to make a decision today. I don't know what you're walking back into, but why don't we say today, whatever happens when I go home, as for me. I can't speak for everyone else. I can't speak for the person sitting beside me. But as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me, I'm going to live for God. You can do what you want, but I'm going to put away those gods. And we don't have physical idols, but there may be loves and cares that we idolize. And why don't we put those things away today and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what God commanded the elders before us. I'm going to preach this Acts 2:38 message. I'm going to live for God no matter what comes my way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody needs to make a decision today. Somebody had better decide who you're going to serve. And these altars are open for as many as want to come. My question is, what are you going to do with what you've been given? What are you going to do with what you've been given? Don't be like Demas and esteem the things of this world that are passing away as greater than the things that are eternal. Somebody rise up today and be like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, come on, let the Lord talk to you.
The new Indiana Bible College album, At the Cross, will be available April 11th, 2018. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.